Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Faith has to be focused. That means grace has to be focused. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, our faith is in God's grace. And the way that God answers all our prayers is through his grace. And we talked last week about grace, those scriptures from 2 Corinthians, that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might be made rich. And then the scripture which is up there before you every day, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So everything is done through grace. God works through grace all the time. Now, what we're going to do this morning is to focus on the two kinds of grace of which the New Testament speaks. Now, in Romans chapter 8, if you've got your study Bible, you can just turn to grace at the back of, on page 688. If you haven't, you can't. This is the general grace of God. He is able to make all grace abound to us. All grace. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 32. So intent is he on seeing his plans fulfilled, he did not protect his son from the necessary cost of giving his life for us all, because through his grace he wanted to give us everything that belongs to Christ. Yes, what he has, we are to have. Now, that's the riches, that though he was rich, he became poor, so through his poverty we might become rich. What does that look like? God wants us to have everything that Christ had. So our faith is in that complete nature of God's grace. He all the time wants us to have everything. He wants us by faith to lay hold of, to appropriate, to lay claim to that which is ours in Christ. Everything that is in Christ is ours. All that Christ has is ours. So that's the grace that is available to us. And it's available to us all the time, and it's available to us to lay hold of, to appropriate, whenever we choose, as much as we choose. But then there's another kind of grace. That's the grace, if you like, that you can say, this is what God has made available to us. This is what we can have. We can have whatever Christ has. But then the other kind of grace is what you could call particular grace. So that's the general grace. Now, particular grace. What does that look like? Well, Paul says later in Romans, in chapter 12, now we have different gifts according to the way God has appointed that his grace is to operate in our lives. So the general grace says this is what you have, this is what you can lay hold of, this is what you can appropriate, everything that is in Christ is yours, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But then there's particular grace, according to what God has appointed to for you. Paul says the same thing in a different way in Ephesians chapter 4. Each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling. So you can understand these two aspects of grace. Grace is what we have, everything in Christ. Particular grace is given by God for what we have to do. So, each one of us has a particular calling, and part of that calling is to do whatever God is calling us to do. For example, I need his grace to be able to speak to you now, so I'm not depending upon myself, but upon him. You don't need that particular grace at this moment. Your grace is to listen and to receive what God is saying to you, and so that you can then appropriate that and process that so that it can find expression in your life. But it doesn't matter where you are or what you're called to do by God, He always makes His particular grace available to you. Now, that particular grace covers a whole range of things. For example, the scripture says that we do not know how to pray as we ought. And therefore we are to pray at all times in the Spirit. So God will actually give us particular grace to pray. He will give us particular grace to pray with faith. He will give us particular grace to pray with those faith goals, those faith intentions we're going to score as a result of our prayer. Now, you will be aware that it's possible to pray in a general sort of way without depending upon that particular grace. Hello? You can just pray because you're praying, and you're not necessarily depending upon that particular grace that God makes available to you. Can you see that as you depend upon that particular grace, you're going to see things happen in a way that you wouldn't otherwise see? Now, when we pray in a focused way, we're praying by faith, but that's faith in His grace, you see? So what happens is that focused prayer releases the grace of God into those situations for which we've been praying. And that's much more powerful than just praying generalities. We're focused in our faith, and that focuses the grace of God into particular situations. So it doesn't matter what kind of ministry that God calls you to now, what kind of service, because every one of us in this room has a ministry at this moment, and that is to serve those around us, to serve God in whatever way He is asking of us at this time. So we have the particular grace available to us to enable us to love one another as He has loved us. That particular grace to pray, the particular grace that we need in our study, the particular grace that we need, those of us on the team, in our specific roles on the team. And it's important that we're not just doing the job day by day, but we are depending upon particular grace. So that grace is available to us. Now, we tend, naturally, to depend upon that grace when we're faced with something that we're finding difficult, or even don't know how to do, or don't know what to do. Then we tend to pray, Lord, give me the grace. But particular grace is available to us all the time. Just like that general grace, what we have, everything that belongs to Christ, so particular grace is available to us for every particular situation in which we're placed. So the more we depend upon that grace, the more God likes it, because that is depending upon Him. And so the results, the fruit, if you like, of learning to depend upon His particular grace will be much better fruit than if we simply did things knowing that we can do them or that God enables in some way. So this is how God is wanting to teach us to pray with faith and therefore to depend upon His grace generally, but also on His particular grace. So when God said to Paul, "My grace is always sufficient for you," what is He saying? He's saying, It doesn't matter what situation you're in, Paul. My grace is always sufficient for you. Even when you're feeling weak, even when you don't know what to do, even when you're perplexed why you pray three times and things haven't happened, my grace is still there. It's always sufficient for you to enable you to go through or get through that particular situation, that particular trial or difficulty or problem or whatever it may be. My grace is always there. That's particular grace. If you understand that particular grace is just part of the general grace. So, Jesus is who he is. When he came to earth, he came as the Son of God. He didn't describe himself as that. He called himself the Son of Man. He was emphasizing his humanity. But during his humanity, and he knew, therefore, his unity with the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. That is who he is. But he depended upon grace all the way through his life because he depended upon the Father, which is why he said, I can't do anything myself. The Father gives me what to say. The Father shows me what to do. So he lived in that dependence. The Father will give me the grace. So he stands before the tomb of Lazarus and looks up to heaven and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me and I know that you always hear me. He knew that the Father was giving him the grace, the ability to actually raise Lazarus from the dead. His faith was dependent. In one sense, Jesus never needed grace because grace is what God gives to those who deserve nothing. And of course, Jesus deserved everything. But what I'm pointing out to you is how, although he knew who he was, and although he knew the inheritance that he had from his Father, he still depended upon him step by step, everything he said, everything he did. So how that is reflected in our lives is we know who we are, those in Christ, Christ in us. We know that we're co-heirs with him. We know that through his poverty we have been made rich. We know that we have every spiritual blessing. We know that we have this full inheritance in Christ, that whatever Christ has, God wants us to have. So we know that. This is who we are. But when it comes to what we do, like Jesus, we need to depend upon the Lord. And as we depend upon the Lord step by step, whatever we're doing, so the grace of God is released. Now, what we have to understand is this. When the grace of God enables us, it's Christ in us that is actually working. It isn't that, you know, here am I in my humanity. I've got certain abilities, but those abilities are limited. So if I come to a situation where my ability doesn't match the need, I can depend upon the grace of God and he will enable me to do it. No, wrong, because that's me doing it. But if I depend upon the grace of God, it's Christ in me. And this is the genius of what God was teaching Paul. You see, he says, I can boast about my weakness because God isn't making my weakness stronger. He's leaving me weak so that I'm dependent upon him so that his grace can then work through me. So then Christ can work through me. Christ can do whatever Christ is able to do despite my weakness. And there's a sense in which every one of us in this room knows our weakness. I'm not going to do this, and you'll be very relieved that I'm not going to do this, but I could go around the room and say to every one of you, what is your particular weakness? Now, I won't do that because it would be very embarrassing. You would probably, a lot of you, have to say things that you're fighting with within you, and you would much rather other people didn't know. And there are always issues like that in every believer. I can't remember who it was now, but one of the great revivalists, I remember reading, saying that he reckoned God always leaves every believer with one area of weakness that they never seem to get the total victory over, so that they always remain dependent upon him. We never get to a point where we say, I've got it together in every area of my life. I'm walking in victory in absolutely everything. There's always an issue, at least one issue, where you're having to constantly, it seems you're constantly having to battle, you're constantly having to depend upon the Lord. The other day I got your students to get into groups and say nice things about each other, say how you thank God for one another. That's something that we've done over the years here consistently in Kingdom Faith. And it's always very encouraging. It's encouraging to hear. But you're often, people are surprised because they hear people saying, well, I thank God for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And they're thanking God for the very thing that you have been battling with. And you're amazed. You think, how can they see Jesus in that area of my life? Because that's the area of my life where I have most difficulty. Exactly. Because you have most difficulty there, you depend upon the Lord. And whether you realize it or not, it's not the difficulty that comes through to others, but the Lord upon whom you've been depending. So they see something of Jesus in you, even though that is an area of your life where, as far as you are concerned, you're very weak. And that's the point that God was making to Paul. My grace is always sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. See, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul then says, in that case, I will boast about my weakness, that the power of God may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Sounds nonsensical in one way, doesn't it? When I'm weak, I'm strong. But you see, when I'm weak, I know I can't do something, whatever it is. And I need God's particular grace to enable me. But depending upon his particular grace makes me strong. And therefore, what comes is fruit, if you like, strong fruit. It's not your weakness, but the fruit that has come out of your weakness. The fruit that has come out of your dependence on the Lord. And this is another good reason for not looking at yourself and beating yourself up. You know, I know what my particular weaknesses are. Okay, that throws me back in dependence upon the Lord. And that's a good thing because it keeps you walking in dependence upon him. Now, if we're wise, you see, if we're wise, then because God gives us the grace that we need for our particular callings, for our particular ministries, you never take that grace for granted. Like, for example, in the natural, I can't preach. I know that because in the early years of my ministry, I tried to. So I know I can't preach, but I know the Spirit of God can speak through me. But I'm not therefore going to just say, oh, well, God will speak through me anyway. No, I have to keep depending upon him to do it, believing that he would do it, being in the place of submission to him so that he will come through after I've said my crass remarks about Arsenal and Spurs and things. That's just to let you know that I still have an area of weakness. But so my apologies to the Spurs fans. The point is, you see, that we never take grace for granted. If we take grace for granted, we can take it for granted that the grace is already available, always available to us, but we don't just willy-nilly get on and do things without dependence upon that grace. So, you know, I'm trusting in the grace of God this morning that God will speak through me. Now, last night, a most unusual thing for me happened. I slept through the night and wasn't up for my usual prayer time. Woke up quite late. Hardly ever does that happen. So I haven't had time to pray as I normally do before I come and do this or anything else. Come to that in the day. But on the car, on the way here, I was depending upon his grace to enable me to say and to do whatever he wants me to do today. I'll catch up on the prayer afterwards. But you see, if you know that you can depend upon the grace, depending upon the grace is depending upon him. It's not depending upon what you do. Right? So whether I prayed for an hour or an hour and a half, which would be more normal, or whether I've only had a few minutes prayer, that doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm depending upon his grace to do what I need to do. Can you understand what I'm saying? So God never disqualifies us from grace. Did you hear that? You see, even when you think you've failed and you've messed up, you've done something, you know, and you think, you feel ashamed or you feel regret or you wish you hadn't done that. Oh, that was a mistake. You know, whatever it is, that does not disqualify you from grace. Why? Because when we have made mistakes, when we have sinned, when if we've done anything to grieve the Lord, he is always ready to be merciful, is he not? Yeah. All we have to do is to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we ask him to forgive us, and the mercy is always the gateway to his grace. He has restored us through his forgiveness, and immediately we're back in the flow of his grace. The grace is available to us. You see, when Jesus says, if you do not forgive your brother when he sins against you, then God will not forgive you. One of the things that he's saying through that, the implication of what he's saying, is if you do not forgive your brother, you cannot flow in the grace of God in the way that he intends. But once you forgive your brother, then you're back in the flow of grace. So whether it's the fact that you need to be forgiven or you need to forgive someone else, as soon as you have done that, received the forgiveness or forgiven the other person, then you're back in the flow of grace. It's as if God says, okay, my grace is available to you. Now let's just get this sorted, get that sorted, and you know, how long does it take to be forgiven? Only as long as it takes you to ask. You know, if it's a serious sin, you need at least 30 seconds. If it's a less serious sin, you might only need 29 seconds. But you see, the seriousness of the sin does not dictate how long you need to pray in order to be forgiven. All you've got to say is, please, Lord, forgive me. By the blood of Jesus, cleanse me. And that's it. Doesn't even take 30 seconds, does it? So long as you're praying from your heart and you really do desire to be forgiven. So, you know, we don't need to pray long prayers and beat ourselves up, because that's like saying, well, I will only be forgiven if I pray long enough. And my God's forgiveness in my life is not dependent upon how long I pray. It's dependent upon the blood of Jesus. It's dependent upon my faith in his blood. It's dependent upon what I know he has done, what I believe he has accomplished. And this is why, you see, to God it is so offensive when we don't forgive other people. He said, well, I forgive you so readily. Why don't you forgive one another as readily as I forgive you? Why do you think you can hold on to offense and bitterness and anger and treat people differently? Because the great thing, you see, about God's forgiveness is as soon as you're forgiven, he treats you as if the offense had never taken place. You're right back into the grace. You're right back in the riches. You're right back in the fullness. He doesn't say, right, I forgive you, but now you've got to go through a time of discipline. I'm not going to make my grace available to you for 3 days because that was really quite a naughty thing you did. So we'll say your punishment is 3 days without grace. You see, God doesn't operate like that. Christians do. Oh, you really hurt me. I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to have anything to do with you for at least 3 days. You see, is that real forgiveness? Is that real unity? Is that real love? Huh? So, we want to see others restored as quickly as we want God to restore us. Uh-huh. Do to others as you would have them done to you. I mean, if you hurt someone else inadvertently and you say, please forgive me, you want them to forgive you and you want the relationship to be restored immediately. You don't want them to say, well, I'm going to punish you for 3 days and have nothing to do with you. I mean, when we look at it like that, you know, it's obvious, well, that's not right. But people do it. So, if we really understand how dependent we are on the grace of God, we're not going to do anything to rob ourselves of being able to lay hold of that grace. The grace is always there, but we lay hold of it by faith. But you see, the confidence that we have in prayer, the faith that we have in prayer, is dependent upon being in that right place with God, knowing that he's been merciful, he's forgiven us, we can trust in him, we can trust in his grace, we've forgiven others, we're not holding on to any issues, there's no bitterness and resentment that is marring our attitude towards other people. So that's even the grace of God working within us, isn't it? To enable us to forgive and to enable us to be restored and to be reconciled when that's necessary so that relationships are kept good in the way that God intends. So all this, you see, just shows how much we need the grace of God every day of our lives. But we need, therefore, to depend upon that grace. We need, therefore, to have faith in the grace of God. Now, what that looks like in practice is it doesn't matter what God puts before you, never can you say, I can't. It's true that you in yourself can't, but by the grace of God, you can. If God is asking you to do anything or telling you to do anything, he will always, always, always underline 3 times. He will always give you the grace to do it. He always makes the grace available. All you've got to do is to trust in that grace. And actually, trusting in that grace is not necessarily praying, oh Lord, I trust in your grace. But as you step out in obedience to what he's said, the grace is there. If you don't respond in that obedience, the grace is available, but the grace isn't operating. But as soon as you step out in obedience to what he's saying, The grace is there to enable you. So the grace, the particular grace of God that we're talking about this morning, that particular grace is very, very practical. It's the grace that enables us to do whatever God is calling us to do. It's the grace that enables us to do what in the natural would be impossible. It's the grace that enables us to do what in the natural we wouldn't want to do. We would choose not to if it was left up to us. But because we know that God is telling us to do it, as we step out in obedience to Him, the grace is there to enable us to do it. How often have you dreaded doing something that you know you have to do, but actually when you did it, it wasn't nearly as bad as you thought it was going to be? That's because grace was working with you. In fact, there are probably several situations like that when you were surprised at yourself. Because it seemed that you were able to sail through a situation which you were really dreading. But actually, it wasn't you, it was the grace of God that was enabling you. So you need to give Him the glory for that and say, oh, thank you, Lord, you got me through that one. Hallelujah. So whatever it is that God is calling us to do, that the particular grace of God is available to us. We can depend upon that grace. As we step out in obedience to what He's saying, that particular grace will be working with us. And what that means, of course, is that as we come through the other side of the event or whatever, we do give Him all the glory. We don't take any of that to ourselves. We don't say, well, you know, God, we don't say, I did it. No, no. Christ in me did it. The Lord working with me enabled me. So all the glory goes to Him. If you pray for someone and they get healed, that's encouraging. It encourages you to know that God used you in that way. But just because God used you, of course, you didn't do the healing. You didn't actually physically enter that person's body and change something in their body. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. God did that. You fulfilled the authority that He gave you to heal the sick. You exercised your faith. You stepped out in obedience, depended upon the grace of God to work in that situation. But the glory belongs to Him, because the work was actually of healing was actually His work. Now that's pretty obvious when you talk about healing. But you see, it's obvious, it's just as true in other areas too. And God resists the proud, but He raises up the humble, doesn't He? And we know that Jesus was the most humble person on earth, which is why, even though He's the Son of God, He can say, I can do nothing myself. See, if I can do nothing myself, and then He teaches the disciples, and apart from me, you can do nothing. What He is saying is everything in your life has to be done through grace if it's to bear fruit in the way that God intends. Now, in your own strength, you can do good things. Lots of people out there, not Christians, don't have Christ living in them. They do good things. Some of them have great compassion. People in the medical profession and in relief organizations and so on. They may not be Christians, but they have compassion. They have love, the natural love. they are able to do good, positive things that bear fruit. But what they cannot do is to bear fruit that lasts. Now, fruit that lasts has an eternal dimension to it. In other words, it's not just the event, but the event that is going to actually lead to some eternal consequences in the life of the people concerned. And Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, fruit that will last." And that is the great privilege, if you like, the great the great privilege that we have over and above people out there in the world. They can do good things, we can do good things. We can refrain from doing good things, actually, if it comes to that. But they can't produce the fruit that lasts, because that can only be the work of God's Spirit, therefore of God's grace working through us. So, you know, it's possible to support people in their need. It's possible to tend the sick and do all kinds of good things like that. But at the end of their lives, they still are facing a Christless eternity. What we have succeeded in doing is giving them a more comfortable journey to hell. Whereas what God is requiring of us as his body is to deliver people from eternal condemnation and to see them brought into the kingdom of God. So it's important that we see whatever ways in which we're loving, serving, giving to people, we want to see that eternal dimension to what we're doing. We want to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, God is aware of this, of course. The Holy Spirit is aware of this. And the grace of God is willing to work with us and work within us and to work through us for that eternal dimension. So sometimes, I think you'll be able to recognize, sometimes we can be satisfied that we've helped someone, that we've expressed some measure of love and so on. And that's good. But there's always the sense in which we want to go beyond that, beyond just helping them in a need, because, you know, somebody out there can help a person in their need who is not a Christian. But we want to go beyond that and see them receive the life that only God can give. We want to see them saved out of condemnation. We want to see out of the fear of a Christless eternity. We want to see them know Jesus and to receive his life. So God's grace will always be available for us for the best. God's purpose is always the best. Can you understand that? The Holy Spirit will never work within you for second best. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to work in you just to enable you to get through whatever. He wants to work within you so that you're victorious. He wants to work within you so that you lay hold of that full inheritance that is yours in Christ. He wants you to so depend upon his particular grace that the outcome is the very best that it could be. Not just adequate. You know, you remember your school reports, or perhaps you don't want to remember your school reports. But mine used to be, you know, could do better, could apply himself more, in brackets, instead of thinking about his cricket all the time, or whatever, you know. I was Mr. Average at school, because as far as I was concerned, school existed as a necessary evil to enable you to play sport. when the Holy Spirit, when we're depending upon the Holy Spirit, you get A stars all the time. A star. Couldn't have done better. Why? Because you depended upon the one who did it. Yes. And if you get a B or a C, that was something of him and something of you. If you get D and below, it was all you and none of him. But you know, God doesn't mark us like that, does he? Praise God. We don't even have a spiritual report at the end of every term. Probably most of you would never come back for a second term if we did. But you see, we want God to be glorified. We want him to be honored. And he's glorified in the best, because he's worthy of the best. Which is why when we come to worship him, we always want to give him our best. Not just to go along, oh, here we are again, you know. Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. Oh, that song again. Yeah, right. Sing in the Spirit. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. No. We're here to give him our best. And this is what I want to finish with this morning. Because, you see, God's grace... Now listen. God's grace is always... Say always.
Always.
Is always to give us the best. There isn't such a thing as second-class grace. Doesn't exist. The grace of God is always the best. So when Paul says, each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling. He's saying is each of us is given God's best to enable us to fulfill our calling. And when he says we have different gifts according to the way God has appointed that his grace is to operate in our lives, he is saying we have God's best. No matter what our calling, God, by his grace, makes his best available to us to enable us to do whatever he's calling us to do. So it's never a question of, oh Lord, just enable me to get through this. Because what he's saying to you all the time is, my best is available to you. When you think about it, beloved, the only thing that he ever has to offer you is his best. He never deals in anything less than his best. He gives you his love, he's given you his best. Given you his power, he's given you his best. Given you life, he's given you his best. Given you joy, he's given you his best. He doesn't have second-class joy to give you, or second-class life, or second-class love, or second-class power. He's only got his best. So grace enables us to receive God's best. Obviously, if he became poor to make us rich, we have that general grace, co-heirs with Christ, that must be his best. To say that we are co-heirs with Christ means that God has put us in the best possible place. To say that he sees us seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's the best. So we always have the best that we can appropriate, we can use because of who we are and the position God has given us. But when it comes to the particular grace that we need, no matter what our situation, it's always his best. And the more fully we are dependent upon him, the more fully his best is then expressed through our lives. In other words, when we really are dependent upon him, it could not have been done better. Because you've so trusted in God, he came through. All right, there's always the human element, because you know, we're not God. But as far as you are concerned, it couldn't have been better. He couldn't have done it better through you because you were so dependent upon him. When it's mixture, you know, we see a certain amount of the activity of God, which is not necessarily his best. But it's not because he hasn't given the best. It's because we've mixed it with something that is less than best, and that's ourselves. Can you understand? So what comes through is mixture, something of God and something of self. But the more fully we actually deny ourselves and trust in him, then the better the outcome. Because the more fully that grace, which is always God's best, that grace is then being manifested in our lives. So that's the message for this week. Hallelujah. Praise God. That means we're going to live this week in his grace. This is the keynote for the next week or so. We're going to see so much more fruit being produced because we realize, right, I'm depending upon his grace. I'm depending upon his best. I can't depend upon second best because God doesn't deal with second best. I'm depending upon his best. And my faith is that as I trust in him in all the particular situations in which he places me, so his best will come through my life. At least as good as it's possible through the weak channel that I am. But as he said to Paul, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So the more dependent upon him, the more perfect the power that is actually demonstrated. Praise God. Let's all stand. Come into the middle. Are you all still breathing? I want you to just get your focus on the Lord. Lift your hands, your eyes, your heart to the Lord. Don't look at yourself. Just start praising him for his grace. First of all, thank him for that general grace, that you are who you are by the grace of God, that you are a co-heir with Christ, that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that God has not withheld anything from you. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Through his poverty, he has made you rich. So thank him for that rich deposit of his grace. Hallelujah. Oh, you are who you are purely by the grace of God. Just thank him. Oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm a son of God by faith in your grace. Thank you that I'm your beloved child because of your grace. Thank you that you live in me by your Spirit because of your grace. Thank you that I'm in Christ Jesus because of your grace. Thank you that you've given the gift of the kingdom and that your kingdom is within me because of your grace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wonder of that grace. Come and really praise the Lord for that. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now start to thank God for that particular grace, that He makes particular grace available to you to enable you to do anything and everything that He's calling you to do. Thank Him that that particular grace is available to you today. You can lay hold of that particular grace to enable you to say what you need to say, to do what you need to do, to relate in any way in which you need to relate. Grace to obey whatever He's commanding you to do. Grace to love. Grace to encourage others. Grace in your ministry, whatever it is today. Grace in your work on the team. Grace to do what you have to do as a student today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Grace. His grace working through you as you go out in mission. When you go out in mission, grace working with you, His grace working with you all the time. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Kuratapari aleto bakalasita di santuma. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Now, if you realize there's been a lot of self-dependence, just ask God to forgive you. You've got 28 seconds left to do that. Hallelujah. Just ask Him to forgive you and say, thank you, Lord. You wipe the record book clean. And I start again this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for that fresh beginning that forgiveness gives me. You forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So thank you. I've got a new righteous start this morning. Hallelujah. I can have a new walk with you from this moment in my life where I depend more fully on your grace than I ever have done in the past. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give me the grace to pray in the Spirit. You're going to give me the grace to speak, the grace to do, the grace whatever. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to depend upon your grace. I make this declaration over my life that I am resolved to live by the grace of God, to live dependent upon His particular grace. Come on, just pray this and then apply it. I can't apply it for you, but you apply it to those particular areas where you know you need to see the grace of God operating at this moment. Off you go. Pray it out. Speak words. Don't just stand there thinking. Speak words. You don't have to speak so loudly that others will hear you, but speak. Keep the flow of prayer. So often when we stop speaking, we're thinking, but we're not necessarily praying. Thinking isn't necessarily praying. You can pray in your thoughts, but you can have a lot of thoughts that aren't prayer. So just keep speaking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Poparaza da paria letu pacalasita di santa. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now, Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So thank him that you have that grace. You have particular grace every day. Each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling. And it is Christ himself who imparts this grace to us. So thank Jesus that he imparts his grace to you. This is what Paul says in Ephesians. Each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling, and it is Christ himself who imparts this grace to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus is giving you grace all the time, so that he can work in you, he can work through you. Those rivers of living water can flow out of your life. Hallelujah. Getting others wet with Jesus all around you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. What a great and mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just before we finish, I want you to just think of one particular situation where you know today you need the grace of God. I mean, you need him all day long, but you know what I mean. That there's this particular thing. It might be something you've been dreading, you've been avoiding, you know, you've been putting it off. And you realize today that you don't need to put it off, because God's grace will be working through you and God's grace will enable you. So this is the focus again, focus prayer. So focus on that one particular thing. Say, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to dread that. I don't have to avoid that. I don't have to feel a failure because I haven't done it. Now, by your grace, I can face this situation. I can walk with confidence, knowing that your grace will abound more and more in my life. And I will be able to give you all the glory for the way you enabled me. You did it in me. You did it through me. Praise you, Lord. Paparia leto bakala sitari sandama. Now, we're going to pray for the whole church to operate by grace. We've got an encounter evening this evening. And it says in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, so great was God's grace on the whole body of believers that nobody among them was left in need. Wow. Is that good? Now, part of that was the way in which they were sharing everything together. It says some who owned land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds from the sales to the apostles, and they ensured that it was distributed to those in need. But it's the grace of God operating, no matter how he did it, whether it was through releasing things like that, through miraculous release, through prayer, through intervention. But we want to lay hold of the truth. So great was God's grace on the whole body of believers that nobody among them was left in need. Now, I want you to pray that. Just pray that through for a couple of minutes. Say, Lord, that's what we believe for your whole body here at Kingdom Faith, whether Horsham, Crawley, Worthing, wherever. Just focus here for a moment. You can pray for your home church in a moment. But first of all, just focus that prayer here. Lord, we dare to believe that you are going to bring us to the place as a body where so great is your grace on the whole body of believers that nobody amongst us is left in need. That every need of whatever kind is met. Because your grace abounds among us. Thank you, Lord, that healing needs are going to be met. Thank you that provisional needs are going to be met. Thank you, emotional needs are going to be met. Thank you that relational needs are going to be met, so there's no lonely people. Everybody has the right relationships that they need. Thank you, Jesus. We speak it, we declare it over your body here. So great is your grace on the whole body of believers that nobody amongst us will be left in need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we're going to see a great release of your grace in so many different ways. We praise you. We bless you. Now you can pray that if this is not your home church, pray it over your home church too, whether it's in this nation or another nation, but pray it over that church too. Lord, we want your grace to abound in every one of these churches. Dependence upon your grace. Real revelation of how we can trust in your grace. So that no one amongst us is left in need. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's pray it over all the churches that relate to Kingdom Faith. All that are part of the Kingdom Faith family. Thank you, Lord. Over the church in London, in Taunton, in Scarborough, and all the relating churches, wherever they may be. In this nation and in other nations, there's lots of relating churches in other nations, wherever. Thank you, Lord. Your grace is going to abound in every one of these situations. You're going to lavish your grace upon your people. So that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. Praise God. Now let's pray it over the whole orchard. You know, God's whole church throughout the world. Lord, we know that much is being said about grace. Some of it good, some of it not so good, because it's giving a misconception of grace. But we pray that the true nature of your grace will be manifested in your church all over the world, every tree in the orchard, every branch in every tree, Lord. Bring them to a fresh and a true understanding of your grace. Thank you that you give us your grace to do your will, not just to do whatever we want, but to do your will. To see the outworking of your plans and purposes. And we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We speak this. You know, something's happening all over the world at this moment because we're praying it. Something is happening. Something is being released over the entire orchard. Something is changing. This is a spiritual reality. Something is changing. Churches all over the world are going to be blessed by what you're praying at this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that our prayer makes a difference. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's just lift our voices now and finish by praising Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What an amazing God of grace. What an amazing God of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pura la basarabari alera bagarasitri sandi. Right, now, as we finish, just listen to what the scripture said about Jesus as he was growing up. As the child Jesus grew up, he became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and it was clear that God's grace was upon him. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 40. So let's speak that over our lives, that, Lord, we, like Jesus, will be strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and it will be clear that your grace is upon us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.